Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Back with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong, your mob. I'm going to jump straight into it. The Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Foundation, QuadCIF, is proud to have been recognised as the 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year at the annual Queensland Community Foundation Philanthropic Awards lunch. So with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Ben Gertz, and he's a board member of QuadCIF. And on the line, Ben, very good morning. How are you? You there, Ben? Ben's not there. Ben, I'll just try. Ben, hello, Ben, you there?
Yeah, Trevor, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, good morning. I start with loan there. How deadly are you, mob? QuadCIF? And before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Ben?
Good morning. My name's Ben Gertz. I'm descendant of the Gugabardin people of just inland of Townsville and the Ngadjuji people of the Afton Tableland.
Yes.
And the Meriam people of the Eastern Torres Strait.
Beautiful, brother. Beautiful. Thank you. Good footprint. Congratulations. Queensland Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Foundation, QuadCIF, have been recognised at the 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year at the annual Queensland Community Foundation Philanthropic Awards Luncheon. So they say the best exercise is your heart when you're bending down and lifting somebody up. Money's a tool. Philanthropic, giving money out to help organisation, help people in community. You've got to be happy with this award, brother.
No, we are very happy. I think, look, I've only been a member of the Board of Advisor QuadCIF for about 18 months now, but okay. In the short time I've been on the board, we've been doing some fantastic work and we support a lot of students across the state. And I think over about 14 years in operation, we've supported about 16,000 Murray kids around the state, and we're currently supporting about 760 between Townsville and the tip of Cape York at the moment. So,
and when you say supporting them, we're supporting them in all facets: sports, school, education, work. Tell us the facet, the platforms you're using.
Yeah, so largely for education, because obviously QuadCIF was established to support students particularly for their secondary schooling, year 11 and 12.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, sometimes we will support students in other ways, whether it's, you know, for extracurricular activities through things like sport and those sort of things. But the direct scholarships that we provide are, yeah, primarily used to support their schooling.
Okay, and we're talking high school students. We're talking private, public?
Yeah, both private and public,
okay, so good,
but only aimed at year 11 and 12 students.
Okay.
And yeah, supporting, making sure that they have, you know, things like laptops to support their education and just, you know, utensils to make sure they get through the school year.
And when you look at the tools that you're supporting with, it helps the student to have the focus for finishing grade 12, you know, senior certificate. That gives them a nice platform, doesn't it?
Yes, it definitely does. I think for me, I think the big part difference from between my time, I finished school just a couple of years before QuadCIF got established, and I had a part time job at Coles and had to use that money to get things like get, you know, sort of supplies to school and that sort of thing. So it just gives the kids a lot more focus on study and even, you know, a bit more extra time to even pursue, you know, maybe a bit of rugby league or something outside of school all their passions, activities. Yeah,
fantastic. And how many board members do you have on board?
So we've got about 8 board members currently, I believe, off the top of my head. There's myself, so I'm the only board member north of Rockhampton. We had Brad Jarrow, who was from Brizzy, but he was a teacher in Rockhampton. And we've got Brenton Bowen, old Hopewell boy. That's probably, and then Renee Blackman, who used to be the CEO of Gidji Healing out in Mount Isa.
Yes.
So they're probably the four that have the most. And Jane Ciolan too. She's from up our way. So a lot of board members are connected back up to North and far North Queensland, but we've all kind of moved around the state a bit, yeah. But I'm based in Townsville. Yeah.
Good. And who's your chairperson there, mate?
Yeah, so I'm Professor Kiefer Dunstan. So she's only been our chairperson there for, coming up for about probably just close to a year now.
Okay.
And she's the pro vice chancellor of Indigenous education at Bond University on the Gold Coast.
Fantastic. So how do schools, if not students, reach out to QuadCIF if they're looking for support in a financial arm?
Oh, very easy process. All you have to do is just pretty much contact us at... we've got our website there at www.quadcif.org.au.
Yes.
And then Michael Naylor is our secretariat, so you can contact him for email, for his details there on our website.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to support more, it's a multifaceted process, so okay. Individual students can apply if they wish. So if you're a family looking to get a bit of extra support heading into year 11 and 12, we encourage you to apply, but also some schools will often help their students apply for scholarships at school as well. So if you're in the education system looking to help support some of your students,
please
look us up.
Ben, most schools have a First Nation aid. You know, in that sense, they'd be well aware of QuadCIF.
Yes, most are. I think a lot of the schools up here, pretty much, I'd probably say most of the schools north of probably Rocky, a lot of the whether it's the Indigenous Education Counsellors or the First Nations teacher aides or it depends on the title, depending on whether you're public or private, they're all very familiar with QuadCIF. A lot of schools, most of their schools now have had QuadCIF recipients in the 14 years since we've been operational.
Good.
I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a school that didn't understand what QuadCIF was.
Yeah, beautiful, deadly. And regarding the award that you recognise as 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year at the annual luncheon, were you there?
No, unfortunately,
you weren't there.
Should
have went for a free feed there, brother.
look like a good feed too. A deadly feed.
Good.
Yeah, and Premier there rocked up too, so...
good. So was the chairperson Keitha, but there was Keitha there to receive the award? Who represented?
Yes, she was there.
Oh, good,
and,
okay.
And our secretariat, Michael Naylor, who's done a fantastic job handling the ship at QuadCIF. He's one of our three full-time staff members, and he does a fantastic job, old Michael,
Good. And when you look at it, you guys are performing at that level and helping our First Nations students in regard to their education and if not their sporting. And you don't do it for any awards or recognition, but it's good to get it acknowledged.
No, look, it is very lovely to get acknowledged, and it's very nice to get the accolade. But look, at the same time, we know the difference we make in people's lives. And,
exactly.
And we know the benefit that we provided to even some of our past recipients. A lot of friends of mine are past QuadCIF recipients, and the difference it's made on their life in terms of pursuing education at uni and even professional career after school. Like, it has made a massive difference in lives, and that's what we're here to do. So it's not we're not in it for awards or accolades.
No,
or
that's
praise,
right.
But,
exactly. Yeah, it's good to get recognised. And congratulations, my brother, to you and the board of directors of QuadCIF. And look, fantastic. Keep doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, it's working, and you're getting recognised for it. And congratulations once again, Ben. And we'll talk soon, brother.
No, cheers, brother. Thanks for that, eh?
Take care, Ben. Bye-bye.
See ya.
A deadly yarn there. Ben Gertz, his name, board member of QuadCIF and QuadCIF Queensland Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Foundation. And they were lucky enough to be recognised and receive the 2023 Philanthropic Foundation of the Year Award at the annual Queensland Community Foundation Philanthropic Awards Lunch. So fantastic. Congratulations, helping our students out there and to all your deadly grade 11, grade 12s out there. There is support. QuadCIF is one of the organisations that can support you in regard to your focus and finishing grade 12. And education is the key. And knowledge is power, but it's potential power. You still need to act on it. So do that. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Act on giving me a call here at National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yudinji Country. BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out NERS team, Too Deadly. Tune in, 1-800-422-416.
I go deep inside my mind, and what I find is there's a fine line between what I think and how I actually feel. 'Cause everything can be fake and can be real, and happiness is so hard to put a finger on. And the fact is, when you do, it don't last long. I just wanna be where the sun sets over.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's Dirty Dollar. Kev Carmody here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yindingi Country. BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Looking at the headlines for the news today, Australians support for Indigenous voice steady with 60% in favour, essential poll finds. Guardian essential poll finds high level of backing for voice to Parliament, despite other polls showing support flagging. And the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Linda Burney, has been travelling across Australia to promote the voice, which was a Labor election pledge. So that's the headlines regarding the voice. And what other yarns we have here? Continue with Indigenous voice to Parliament dominates Barungal Festival 35 years after Bob Hawke promised treaty in a small remote Northern Territory community. A popular First Nations festival this weekend has been dominated by politicians and Indigenous leaders promoting the voice to Parliament. More than 5,000 people attended the popular three-day Barunga Festival about 400 kilometres southeast of Darwin to experience traditional dances, sport and cultural workshops. And this year marked 35 years since Indigenous leaders presented the Barungal Statement to then Prime Minister Bob Hawke, 1988, calling for a treaty and a formal recognition of Indigenous people. So that's regarding the voice. So have your say. Maybe you want to talk about that topic, the voice, or maybe you want to talk about what's happening with your organisation, your family, your education, for your young ones. Either way, all is here on your daily program, National Talk Black, and that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, I'm with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Take it to the limit. has to come. Take it to the limit, 'cause you only live once.
That's YOLO, You Only Live Once, Eloise Ingram, and that is the case, You Only Live Once, but if you do it right, once is enough, you mob. Live your life to the fullest. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yana Upstrong, 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumba Group Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yana Upstrong, you mob, too deadly. Speaking of deadly, Cape York Crusaders kicking goals at state champs. 22 students from across Cape York and the Torres Strait returned home yesterday after competing at the 2023 Australian Football AFL State League Championship on Sunshine Coast. The Crusaders team had representatives from 14 communities from Hopewell through to Alama Island in the Torres Strait. And with that, we're going to talk to Crusaders coach Matt Mullan on the line. Matt, a very good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you. Yourself?
Well, thank you very much for coming to the program. Talk about kicking goals, 22 students, two deadly, these young brothers. So tell us about your journey down there with the boys and how they went in the state school championship.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for having me on. It's fantastic to get a little bit of coverage for our program. It's been a big week or so. So
yes.
We're just back in the office now, just having a bit of a brief and, just talking about how well it went. So we have we're down on the Sunny Coast last week and had 14 communities represent our Crusader team and, went away down there and we're in the Queensland State School Champs and, did really well. We're fantastic. We had these young boys and girls from the Cape and the Torres Strait that came down and, represented their communities and themselves and their schools and their culture and, they made everyone really, really proud. So,
we're talking students. Are we talking lower grade, junior, or we're talking seniors in regard to the team, or how's that work?
No, sorry, it was an under-12s competition,
okay.
So anyone from basically grade 4, 5 and 6 was eligible to come away with us if they were capped underneath that age bracket. We had a young boy from Bloomfield River who was 2013 born, so he was 10 years old, so he'll be able to come through for a couple more years, but most of them were about 12. So, and then after they finish with that under-12s program, they'll roll up into the higher age group programs that are now starting to trickle back since COVID's been wrapped up. So, things are looking good for the young people now.
So tell us about the Crusaders. Where do they stem from? I mean, based here in Cairns, and are the students at the AFL House, is that right?
Well, yes and no. Our office is in Cairns, and we've obviously got our AFL KPL House for boys and girls boarding houses in Cairns. So if there's young people that are eligible to play for the Crusaders, we can definitely take them from there, but it's not actually a boarding house sort of team. It's more of it's selected from the Cape and the islands to come down. So Kieran and I visited 44 communities last year throughout and we picked the young people just through school attendance and just being a good member of community and also footy ability as well. So that's how I get picked from there.
So location of school, so you travel to the communities and virtually scouting, looking at their school progress as well as their performance on the football field.
Oh, 100%. A lot of a big thing with our program, it's just that our three pillars is pride, respect and responsibility. So you've got to be coming to school, you've got to be doing the right things. You can be the best footy player and not necessarily get picked for the Crusaders. You've got to be a good person as well. So we're going through and seeing those kids, and school attendance seems to be up when we're coming into schools as well. So that's a good driver for us to get schools after our kids into schools and through our program into our boarding facilities. So ticks a lot of boxes.
So, Brother Matt, if you look at it, they then become mentors, you could say, these young fellas, because then they go back to school, Scott, about their trip away on a big plane down to Sunshine Coast, representing, and, they did good, and they continue to do good. But they make that yarn for their other young brothers and sisters coming through as well. If be good, do good things will happen sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And we echo that message when we're on our trips. Good decisions good choices lead to good outcomes, and bad choices go to bad outcomes. And they know that as well. Like the young people that we pick, they've been coming to school doing the right thing anyway, so they've done that on their own, and we just reinforce that. So when they go back to school, everyone knows, like the younger mob that come through underneath them, that they're doing the right thing and they're getting reward for their effort, and hopefully that trickles down. And that's just the sort of legacy that leaves. So yeah, it's nice.
And then you look at ages 10 to 12. I mean, they're about 6 to 4 years away becoming 15, 16-year-olds. And that's when clubs, AFL clubs, scout, look at development squads, doors could open up in that platform.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we've got our pre-COVID, we had under-12s competition, under-14s, under-16s and under-18s as well. But sort of COVID squashed that a little bit. It's starting to come back now, which is great. So there's more pathways, but our under-16 Crusader team that we had pre-COVID had won 9 of the last 10 North Queensland Championships against places like Townsville, Mackay and Rockhampton and Cairns and things like that. So there's obviously just natural talent and ability all through where we live and where we travel through. And, yeah, we're very lucky to have these young people come up. So, and they get looked at by the Suns Academy stuff as well, the Gold Coast Suns, because that's in their sort of zone to, select kids. So the more they come, the more they do, the more chances they'll get.
Yeah, fantastic. Matt, and with yourself, your journey, tell us about your journey and how you became the coach of Crusaders. Are you a local boy? Are you from Cairns? Or what's your AFL background?
Oh, I'm not from Cairns originally, but I've been up here for about 5 years now. I actually grew up in Victoria. So, footy was a massive part of my life. Yeah. And, I've always played it when I was a junior. And, gave me lots of opportunities and stuff as well, just friend-wise and social-wise. And, I did a lot for me growing up. And then, I moved up to Queensland a while ago. I spent a bit of time on the Gold Coast, and I was in Brisbane working for AFL Queensland down there. And then we did a transfer. It was like just supposed to be a 9-week transfer up to Cairns to work for AFL Cape York, just as a development, personal development thing, and come up here for 9 weeks. And they went through the Cook region with a couple of the game development people up here, and we visited Hopevale and Cooktown and Laura Lakeland, and through there. And then I came back and I said, "Oh, how did you like it?" And I said, "Oh, I'd love to go a little bit further up and see a bit more of the Cape and the islands. That'd be unreal." So I stayed for another term, and after that, they said, "How'd you like?" I went to Arakoon and Old Marpoon and places like that. And they said, "How'd you like?" I said, "Oh, I love it." And I said, "Oh, do you want to sign on for another year?" And 5 years later,
For AFL
Cape York.
Just going up here for 9 weeks, you mob. I'll see you later, family. And here we are 6 years later.
Well, it's going to be, it's just a special space. Cool. So, honestly, like, footy is a massive part of what we do, and I love footy, and that's what drives me. But it's so much more than footy, what we do here at AFL Cape York. With our boarding space and stuff, like, everyone's fully invested in the young people through sport and education. And, it's somewhere that I hold close, dear to my heart kind of thing. So.
Yeah, well, love your work, Matt. Fantastic. Congratulations. Big shout out to those 22 students. And, from little things, big things grow, my brother. So good yarning with you. Keep doing the good work, brother, and we'll keep in touch, eh?
All right, sounds good. Anytime you want to chat, I'll be here.
Too deadly. Thanks, Matt.
All right, thank you. Bye.
See ya. Dele Yande, Matt Mullen, his name is, a Crusaders coach, taking 22 students from across Cape York and the Torres Strait and returning home just yesterday after competing in the 2023 Australian Football State School Championship on the Sunshine Coast. And the Crusaders team had represented from 14 communities from Hopevale through to Lummer Island in the Torres Strait. So it looked fantastic and said creates a nice platform. But the kids not only get picked for their football abilities, but in regard to their attendance at school and their attitude. And that's fantastic, isn't it? It's a nice, fantastic, a nice platform for them to build their future upon, not only on the football field, but in life itself. Attitude is everything. Everything is attitude, you mob. Have your say in Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Thinking about your body next to mine. Butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you mob. It's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Playing a sad, sad song. Headlights are blinding me. I can hardly see. want to get back before the dawn. I want to surprise her, I want to see her face, 'cause I want her to know I won't be doing this for long. Wanna stay by her side and make our house a home. I know she'll be happy, it will make love strong. I wanna take her by the hand and tell her our love is so. Tell her I love her so. I see the lights of town, I'm getting close. Pull up the driveway, but somebody's there. My hands are shaking when I unlock the door. My knees are getting across the floor. Tell her I love her so. Tell her I love her so. Tell her I love her so. Well, I did surprise her, you should have seen her face. Now I'm 1,000 miles from home. Driving down this highway, just me all alone. Listening to a sad, sad song. I wanted to surprise her, I wanted to see her face, 'cause I wanted to know I won't be doing this for long. Wanna stay by her side and make our house a home. I know she'll be happy, it will make love strong. I wanted to surprise her, I wanted to see her face. Tell her I love her so.
Loves in history that we know about, but a tale of two lovers that was told to me makes me want to scream and shout like Romeo and Juliet. A love story you won't forget, but tell me why did they destroy a love like that? Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why did they do? Snowball, Roach, and Nellie Austin loved each other well. Oh, and I don't think that they argued often. Somebody broke the spell. Yeah, they broke the spell and broke their heart. Then they drifted far apart. So tell me why did they destroy a love like that? Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why did they do that? Well, it caught two hearts apart, left them bleeding all alone. And threw them in the river, made of stone. Oh, they're dead now.
Bajalong clan, and she was Kiewara. And he was a big, strong, fighting man. Yeah, she was proud and strong. And their love was great, their love was free. But what happened to them was a tragedy. So tell me why did they destroy love like that? Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why did they do that? Oh, they tore two hearts apart, left them bleeding all alone, and threw them in the river, made of stone.
Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbarip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yarn Up with the Bullion in here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. A big shout out to the First Nation Radio Stations across this beautiful country, a Deadly Black Network. And look, telling all our deadly yarns, big yarning circle it is across the nation. And also sharing our deadly music and promoting all our deadly artists that perform on the Big Island and from their own country. I just want to say good morning. Hello, Samantha, WA. Hope you're well, my dear. And loyal listener, you are with National Talk Black and your beautiful Sunday, your carer, John. Hello, John. Hope you guys are well. And look, have you say your mob, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. I've got a caller coming online there. Just check who we got. Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Oh, who's this? Hi, Selwyn. How are you?
I'm all right, brother. Yeah, my take on children on having children, brother, open on choker. Children over children. And those people, are those children today, brother? Are the stolen generation, brother, eh?
True.
Yeah, because of what happened to those. A lot of them were minors that got pregnant too, brother. But a lot of there were good white. It's not lost on me that white and black relationship with women and men. People fall in love too, and I never forget a old fellow Shane and old fellow Yuren, you know, brother. Old fellow, the old Russian and his wife and old fellow Tiger O'Shane, brother. A lot of white folks like that.
Yes.
But they had to go. They had to go to finger pointing the black fellows and white fellows. For their children and their relationship with their Aboriginal wives. And brother, I also know about white fathers that had children with unwed mothers. And of course, they were called bastards. And their children were taken off them too, brother. And, you know, the excuses at that time that during the frontier invasion, brother, was especially up in the top. There wasn't a lot of women around.
Yeah.
But I feel like saying, F me dead, brother. Europe, Britain, USA, and Australia are the main perpetrators, white fellows that go over there for little kiddies, eh, brother, over in Asia on them sex too, brother. And that's what I wanted to ring in for and say, the children having children, are those a stolen generation today as well, and you know it all backfired to when they had that baby bonus, and
exactly.
I think they wanted to lift up many of the white population, but of course the black fellows or people of color, they have the Eve gene, I think, but they call it Eve gene, and they're better at childbearing, brother, and of course a lot of our people. Did they have children? And the baby bonus backfired because, you know, our people had more children. And, of course, the white women, they went to India. They exported the poor Indians to these to rent me a room, my brother, to have children. Another one that backfired was initiated by the rich retirees of Southeast Queensland around Oxley, where Paul Nelson country was the victims of crime, where they only thought they were victims of crime. Mm. They got a big shock when all them payouts were made to blacklers. You know, that we're entitled to victims of crime. And yes. Yeah, I think it's a follow-on to what I think you're yarning with somebody, I think last week, about the difference between black and white crime, violence, eh? And, of course, a lot of our people know Rosie Batty. A lot of them are socialized, but and a lot of the perpetrators, they happen in an instant, you know, like because they're alcohol-related. But a lot of their crimes, too, are planned. They're premeditated. Yeah. A lot of the crimes are when they kill their women. But a lot of ours is, you know, on the spirit of the moment. And the correlation between alcohol and crime, I always like to think about the Noel Pearson, brother. That AMP people might like it or might not like it. But, of course, the crime on women, as shown in the back of the King's Post, public notice, the perpetrators are notified about the victim seeking compensation, and the police and the Cairns Police Flying Doctor, they saw the difference between the people being brought down here for being victims of crime. And I often think about that bloke in Brisbane, like that German bloke, the teenage Asian wife. Now we got filmed on the and Bunnings getting that black or what tank would you call it, to fill up with acid. And of course, like I say, brother, the crimes of black and white, they're different sorts of crime. And I thought about that Four Corners too as well, about the missing women. And one of the things that I wasn't happy about was they showed the Alice Springs one and the Catherine one, and they were alcohol related. And they didn't have the kill word on it. I talk about my granny up here, up at the Cape here, that's still missing. And that other one, Watchaway, down in Brisbane, that sister down there. And she, the perpetrators, were middle, from what I see on that program, they were middle, but they still don't really know. But the two, one from Alice and one from Catherine, they're black perpetrators in the show. They got him straight away because they are alcohol-related. Mm-hmm. And bugger me dead, brother, on the wind, under investigation, they had these women, brother, I think four of them, one from Broome and three in New South Wales. This bloke, and he admitted on his, I don't know if he did confession, that he killed these other women. And they're the sort of things that was true with that Four Corners from the missing Aboriginal women. And a lot of Aboriginal women are missing, but the perpetrators, when they're missing, you can bet your bottom dollar, the perpetrators are middle. But I did ring in two brother to the program and praise the detective brother that investigated the 21-year-old from Cohen brother and the taxi driver. You know, that young girl there at Reservoir Road there. I like to ring in and praise policemen too when they do all right.
Yes.
I talk about policemen, brother. I'm having a go at Sergeant Glenn Delay, brother.
Yeah.
I think he might be, we get a lot of trainees, they might be better off, brother. He might be better off in Summer Bay, brother, or Yabby Creek, or they solve the problem, that fella Cash. They got one big problem. They saw them the following week, brother. And it popped up on the Cape. And I remember, too, when I was at Bummer Healing, at a room, and some of them, the three old elders used to come in and watch E Street, I think. Mm. It was a bit like Home and Away, and the good actor was a fella called Wheels. And they had to sit up real close, brother, to the TV and watch. You know, you couldn't interrupt them. And then another old elder said, he liked that song, John Fogerty.
Yeah.
All we need is another gun slinger, brother. Yeah, he was talking about our good. But, yeah, it's good to see that the crime in this isn't as bad as it was, brother, because of Noel's AMP. And again, brother, even though, Noel is up there for criticism, and, he, and all our public, people in the public, they're not thin-skinned. It's a right to criticise them for the hat that they wear. And, but I don't like when you criticise people. We're black, we're old man, what even did? We like to go for the jugular. Mm. Yeah, the main reason I was ringing, brother, to say that I give my take on the stolen generation. They're from children, having children, brother. Thank you very much for letting me have my little voice, brother.
Yeah, too deadly, brother. Thank you very much. And that's someone having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Trinity Trevor signs off for today's program, your mob. Thank you for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll yarn tomorrow at 11 a.m. Queensland time. Too deadly, mob.